Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear to God, I will go over the...
You.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. Let's do this. How's it going, Hupke?
Crazy, but fine.
Say more about that, please.
Yes. Oh, you know, just been feeling a little stressed. You know, life sometimes just starts to bounce you back. No, the asylum case that we discussed last week has continued at a brisk pace. And fortunately, on the good news front, the mother has now been released from ICE detention in San Diego. She was more or less shoved into the parking lot. They called her attorney, her immigration attorney in California, and said she's coming out in 2 hours. And she was like, well, I'm not anywhere near the facility right now. And they're like, well, too bad. She's an immediate release, so you can meet her in the parking lot. And she was like, okay, great. So she gets there, fortunately, and is able to get this poor woman who, again, to the best of my knowledge, doesn't speak any English, speaks Lingala, which is
poor
not
woman.
A common tongue in these parts.
Probably not a lot of translators.
Right. And so, anyway, so she is now with her immigration attorney, who I believe has put her up in a hotel.
I feel like that's the least you can do for this woman at this point.
Well, yeah, absolutely, although the government should be the one doing it. But
yeah.
She, according to the ACLU attorneys, they believe that once she has a stable living situation, she will be able to be reunited with the kiddo. The kiddo is still here.
She can crash on my couch.
Yeah. That's
like, for real.
I've gotten so many emails from people who are like, can we please have that child, or can we please take that mother in? Or like,
it's that woman can come here and sleep on my couch.
Right.
In fact, I'll go stay with somebody else.
Yeah, actually,
I'll come stay with you, Hupke, and she can just have my apartment, and she and the kid can just get all set up. I'll crash in your basement. It'll be fine.
Chill for a while. Yeah, that's what my wife actually made me ask the ACLU attorney if we can have the kid, if we can take care of the kid. I was like, I'm sorry, but my wife said I have to ask this.
She's like making me ask.
I know you're going to say no, but so it's still in limbo. And then the big question. Well, there are many questions, but the big question now is, A, when do they get reunited officially?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing for this immediate case. But B, is how many other kids are out
there? Yeah, that's what I keep thinking about.
Yeah, I think there are others probably here in Chicago and others in facilities across the country. There have been reports of this happening dozens, if not hundreds of times in terms of families being separated in this similar manner. So that's the big question. That's sort of the next step in all this, but we are at least getting a little closer to
something. It's a step. It's progress.
Yeah, it's a step. And, you know, still, this is another one of those things, too, where, you know, with this administration, and it may have, I mean, the Obama administration was not great, I didn't think, about their overall messaging and stuff either. So, I mean, just to be fair, I'll note that. But with these folks, it's like, why did they not get out in front of it? They're still not answering any questions. What I find funny is that they're saying, well, we can't discuss because of pending litigation. At the same time, it appears you violated her Fifth Amendment constitutional rights. So why are you, what's the privacy angle? You know, like, why are you protecting? Anyway, so it's kind of ridiculous in a lot of ways. But the fact that they didn't just see what was coming.
Yeah.
Because this went from here. This was on MSNBC. Joy Reid did a piece on it over the weekend. The Washington Post did an editorial about it. I mean, it got heated. And now the Federalist even has a piece up on it, which is, odd. And but good to see. So anyway, it's we're moving towards resolution of some sort in this case. But, if they want to have these rather draconian immigration policies, I'm not going to agree with them, but if their argument is we got to get the bad dudes, or as Trump calls them, the bad hombres, out of here, why not do that and make a big deal out of the various hombres, muy malo, who you are, booting out?
Please no, with the Spanish.
And But instead, what they've done is they've done stuff like this, where they've separated a family with for no reason, and then they've, you know, we've seen all the stories about like people who lived here for 30 years and are establishing their community, and they're suddenly getting hauled away. So again, I'm not going to agree with the policy, but if that's the policy approach you're going to take, why wouldn't you do what you said you're going to do and make a big deal out of it? And then you'd probably get more people being like, well, okay, I see what they're trying to do here. But instead, it's just nuts, and you're seeing things like this happen. So
yeah,
grr.
So grr, that's in summation, grr. Yeah. Okay, well, lots of other things going on.
Yeah,
also
right.
In the world.
It's been weird to not. What I was just going to say, actually, before we went on, is it's kind of weird for me, as somebody who generally tries to be funny and make jokes in my columns and stuff like that, to be on this string of like I've now written like four or five very serious columns in a row, and in the meantime, there's all this crazy
just
crap
chaos
happening. I have so many jokes I could make about the Trump stuff, but
well, yes and no. I mean, I think that's part of your talent, Hucky, is that you can
alleged talent,
right? That's right. You have shared many of your emails with me. Is that you can play in that space and be, you know, light about serious things, but also when it matters, and you know, when you need more than satire or humor to fight something, you can bring that too, and not everyone can do that.
Okay.
You know, there's some people that you got to pick one. You can't play in both.
Thanks. Thank you for saying that. I just, sometimes I feel kind of like, you know, which direction do you?
It's all part of your brand, Hupke. It's all good. There's depth to your brand. It's fine.
I appreciate it. Thank you for doing some PR for me on that front.
I'm happy to be your spokesperson.
Yeah.
Not really at all.
Yeah, right.
That would not be a fun job.
No,
but it would pay well in blizzards.
Yes,
I have a feeling.
Yes, excellent.
Dairy Queen blizzards,
nice
not
perks.
The weather. Okay, so shall we go through the list of things happening right now?
Yeah, wade into the poop tornado?
Well, I'd like to say that it made me laugh very much yesterday that Trump sent this tweet that was kind of like a perfect and go, right? So the tweet said, the new, capital F, capital N, fake news narrative is that there is, all caps, chaos in the White House. Wrong, exclamation point. People will always come and go, and I want strong dialogue before making a final decision. I still have some people that I want to change, always seeking perfection. There is no, capital C, chaos, only great, capital E, energy.
I love how that became like, there is no chaos, only
and
energy.
Go!
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Right. It did two things. Yeah. It became, there is no chaos, only energy. And then it also was just that perfect thing where you say, I will never do the following. And here comes the following,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It was that. So CNN called it a curtain raiser on the day, which was really perfect because it indeed was.
Yeah.
It was a chaotic day for sure. He said, when asked about it at a news conference, he said, I like conflict. I like having two people with two points of view. I like watching it. I like seeing it.
Good for you.
Good job, buddy.
Yes.
So there were many things. We saw Kellyanne Conway standing in violation of the Hatch Act.
Mm-hmm. Which was, if I can, the administration's response to that was effectively, no, she didn't.
Right.
Really, that's all that. I mean, it was absurd.
And it's up to him to declare the consequences.
Yeah, right.
That's not, of her doing that.
That's not going to happen.
Essentially, she stands in violation of it because of advocating for or against candidates. In this particular case, it's about last year's Alabama Senate special election.
Yeah, right.
So I seriously doubt there will be any consequences for that.
Yeah, I'm sure there won't. But it's absurd. I mean, this is the Office of Special Counsel. It's Trump's person who investigated this and found unequivocally that this is a violation of the Hatch Act. I mean, what she did was ridiculous. And
not even a gray area. Like,
right.
It's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, for the White House to respond with effectively, yeah, I mean, that's really what they did. And you're just like, well, then what the hell do all of these things, law-type thingies mean?
Right. Good talk, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And also kind of probably a precursor to when you start hearing more from Robert Mueller. He's going to be like, the president, you know,
has done the fault.
Obstructed justice. No, he didn't.
Your mom obstructed justice.
Yes. You look like obstructed justice.
Right.
So, you know, it's just kind of, I don't know.
So that happened.
Yes, it did.
Then Also,
and then it was shamelessly trampled by thousands of other scandals.
Thousands of other things. And during all, like before Tuesday, we're already having these like Kushner conversations.
Right.
Like that's already at a rolling boil at that point, right?
Yeah, right.
So
exactly.
That's happening. Then the tweet. Then boom, 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 starts to fall. Okay, so we have the Kellyanne piece. We have Gary Cohn quits, Trump's chief economic advisor, resigns in the wake of disagreements over Trump's decision to move forward with the aluminum and steel tariff.
The tariffs themselves are a story, too. So,
the tariffs themselves are a story. But also, then we have like the way his resignation is discussed and described becomes this like anti-Semitic dog whistle situation that happens. Like,
well, including from the Office of Budget Policy, like
yes.
Mick Mulvaney
absolutely
tweeted something
straight up, said globalist.
And I'm just like, what the? I thought it was one of those White House accounts that's a satire,
the rogue one.
And I clicked on it and I'm like, wait, no, this can't be real. And it was real. I mean, my God, it was. I was like, okay, we're not even pretending anymore. It's just like,
yeah,
it was ridiculous. And I think he meant it joke. I mean, maybe he and
I don't even know how anybody means anything
right
anymore.
But regardless, it's like you just don't, like, what do you
just don't say that. I mean, it really felt like you're nice for a dude, or you're, you know, it was like you're this for a this. It was,
yeah,
like I like the guy despite his Jewishness.
Right. Yeah, that was like, even though he's a Jewish banker, and you know those guys,
and you know he controls the world in the media. Other than that, he's my bro.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted something like Mulvaney was amazed to learn that they don't actually have horns or something like that.
Yeah,
that's really what it felt
was
like.
Was that me? I might have tweeted that.
Maybe it was. But,
I mean,
yeah, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, real bizarre. So that happens.
And then, like, the additional layer to that, though, is the fact that Cohn himself stuck with Trump after the Charlottesville Nazi crap, but then leaves because somebody said, because he will not tolerate racism against aluminum.
Right. But, so that's all screwed up. The Dow plummets in response to that.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Immediately. It was like, peace out. We're going to go. We're done here. Then.
As if that wasn't enough,
as if
everybody.
That wasn't a big enough day, as I'm sure you've heard, if you have any access to the internet anywhere or know another human being, the Stormy Daniels story got a little more interesting as of about, it was close to close of business. It was like late in the day that suddenly, and it, you know, and that's the thing. I've gotten in the habit now of, because, you know, in years prior, you just open your phone and tweet something when something popped in your head of something to tweet. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll look and see what's trending first to make sure, because it's a good bet, something has just kicked up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
On Twitter, and it's inappropriate to tweet something like, oh, I just burned my arm and I, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's inappropriate to add a personal observation or a funny or something like that. Or a PSA or whatever it is that pops in your head. Or even just share a link. It sometimes seems kind of tone deaf if you I've stopped scheduling tweets. Sometimes if it was like evergreen, I would just sort of throw it in the scheduler knowing I'd be busy that day, whatever. Yeah. I've stopped doing that because I know like it's a good chance it's going to tweet in the middle of a complete scandal and I'll look like a dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. So it was kind of late in the day. I went in to tweet something and everybody in my Twitter feed, it's like Stormy Daniels, Stormy Daniels, Stormy Daniels, and lots of Photoshop jobs of Trump with mustaches on calling him Dennison, and I was like, stop, what's happening?
David Dennison. Love machine.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm uncomfortable with the subject matter personally.
We are in the worst moment ever. And it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday and all this stuff has happened. That's what's so crazy. But yeah, the interesting thing, I mean, you know, after the grab him by the pussy comment, I kind of have felt like he's probably pretty much bulletproof when it comes to anything involving just general
none of that
lecherousness.
Kind of thing will bring him down. No.
Right. But the thing that the most, look, I mean, let's be honest, the most interesting thing, what Stormy Daniels' attorney did, which I actually think is maybe they're being a pain in the ass, you know, and trying to get attention and whatever. But the brilliant thing about it is that they put the non-disclosure agreement into the lawsuit as an exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And that lets us see.
So, lets us see it.
So look, I mean, Trump can argue this lawsuit is ridiculous. You know, this was a binding, whatever, whatever. But the bottom line is the non-disclosure agreement is what Trump's attorney and Stormy Daniels agreed to. I mean, that is real. You can't. Mm-hmm. This isn't the lawyer saying stuff. This is them saying stuff and agreeing to it. And it includes talk of the existence of possible images, video, with text, you know, that sort of thing. So we don't know. I mean, that could be language that just makes it all inclusive, or it could be that there was a little sexting going on of some sort, which I
know
think
this is radio and no one can see my face, but yeah. I'm sitting here trying not to barf right now.
Gooth just became Blech. She just became the barf emoji.
I did. It's creeping me out so badly.
And also another thing that, and there's a lot in that non-disclosure agreement that it was quite long, and I think it's taken a while for everybody to sort of get through it and on the reporting side. But
and that's the thing with like reading legalese. Like, you and I are not lawyers, but so you have to like kind of read and stop and go, okay, that means okay, got it, done. You can't just like blow through it. You
right,
can't skim it. You have to really kind of dig and stop and consider and, you know, all
yeah,
that.
But there's one little, you know, sub part in there that references something about her being physically harmed.
Yeah.
And again, this is not in the lawsuit. This is in the not that it would be okay one way or the other, but the lawsuit would make it more just she said.
Yeah.
This isn't something both signed. It says, she claims that she has been damaged by David Dennison's alleged actions against her, including but not limited to tort claims, proximately causing injury to her person and other related claims. It does say that David Dennison denies all such claims. But, you know, anyway, it's crazy. I mean, and again, think about any other presidency where this is just, and it is a big story right now,
sure.
But I don't know in 2 days if it's still going to be, but the lawsuit does put Trump and Trump's, I mean, there's what a lot of people have been pointing out, and I think it's a good point, is that the affair, alleged affair, and all of the sort of you know, dirty stuff about it is really secondary to what appears to be the possibility that payment was an in-kind mm-hmm. campaign contribution that
right.
was not registered or not noted, and that's a felony for, I think there's like a 5-year, you know, sentenced for something like that, possibly. It's a federal crime. So, for the attorney. I don't know exactly how that would affect Trump, but it's a big deal. I mean, and them putting this lawsuit out has backed Trump's attorney and Trump himself into quite a corner.
A fascinating corner.
Yeah, legally, it is a really interesting case.
Right.
It went from sort of, you know, ooh, scandal, mm-hmm. to actually like, oh,
yeah.
This could be kind of a big deal.
You know, and I think I'm making a point to not say porn star because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think I said this on the show before that if she was a kindergarten teacher, nobody would give a shit what her profession was.
Right.
But something about her being a porn star cheapens it or makes it more salacious or something. But I think it's important that we keep that part out of it because it really is about an alleged affair,
yeah,
and a payoff, and you know, it's about a married guy in a position of power trying to get away with some shit,
yeah,
and I want to keep the focus on that and not on like, oh, he got lured by a porn star, she's probably into something freaky. I don't care.
Right.
I really don't care what she's into. And no matter what she does for a living, she's entitled to have a relationship. She's, you know, she's entitled to have a reasonable sense of safety. And, you know, what I don't know what happened. There's two people that know what happened.
Right.
And, but it just doesn't matter what she did for a living. And she, you know, I appreciate that some outlets are even starting to omit it a little bit. I mean, I think most headlines are still using porn star or
yeah.
adult film actress or something. But some outlets are starting to say, like CNN has been pretty careful about saying Stormy Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, or mm-hmm. who, you know, I've seen a couple of other examples of people saying the woman, Stephanie Clifford, comma, who, you know, has performed under the name Stormy Daniels, comma, which that's an interesting shift, too, because that really makes it out like this human being versus this human being. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So, that is a very interesting and nuanced little bit there. And people were having a lot of fun with it yesterday. But you're right. If that was any other politician, not just president, I mean, if that was any politician, that would be a huge scandal.
Well, and for those who are trying to discredit, and I tweeted this earlier, anybody trying to sort of discredit or denounce Stormy Daniels because of her career, Trump himself appeared in at least two Playboy softcore porn movies, dressed, thank merciful God, but
thank the baby.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That was a minor little scandal during the campaign. Somebody dug up. I think it was.
Block that out.
Yeah, there were at least two, maybe three times that he was in. But you know, these were not R-rated movies or something. They were porn movies and porn cinema and
porn cinema, erotic cinema.
Yes, exactly. So you know, careful who you try to denounce for those purposes, because your guy himself has been wading in those waters as well. If you find that somehow a mark of not being a good person, then
have you seen much of that?
Yeah. Porn?
No, dumbass. People denouncing.
I got some playing right here. Actually.
I mean, on my home computer.
That one time. I was next to a dude in totally off the subject, but I was in traffic and there was a guy next to me and he had
porn.
He was watching porn on his phone was like on a dash mount, and I looked over and I was like,
whoa,
holy shit, is that porn? I was like, what are you doing?
Whoa.
And he didn't look at me because he was very engrossed, but I was like, oh, what is it?
Because
what's wrong with you at that point?
Just watching Sesame Street on your phone while you're trying to drive is a bad idea.
Right.
But you're trying to watch porn, possibly jerk it, and drive at the same time?
Yeah. It's like, man, talking about multitasking.
The roads are unsafe.
Indeed.
Is what I got to say about that.
Anyway, no. Sorry. But yeah. No, I just
that was in. A fascinating tangent.
Yeah, it really was. It was very weird. You said, have I seen much of it?
Not porn. Have you seen much of people discrediting her? I've seen a little bit of it.
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
I haven't seen that much.
Oh, yeah. No, people on the right. There was a guy on CNN last night. It was this, if you Google awkward CNN moment or something, you'll probably find it now. Because one of the people on a panel, a Trump supporter, was like talking about this. And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, we've never heard of a porn star trying to draw attention to herself, have we? And the other three just went totally silent. Like nobody was like, like he expected, obviously. He thought he was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And everybody else just was like, ugh. So it's actually a very funny clip. But yeah, no, I've seen that on the web a lot too. Like, oh yeah, sure, there's porn. I trust a porn star over the president.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it at first, but I haven't seen much of it lately.
Really? Yeah. But that, you know, that will increase, I assure you, as we go along.
Sure.
I think I also noted today that from now on, all evangelicals donating to Trump's reelection campaign should make their checks out to David Dennison. Hypocrites.
Oh, good times.
But it is. I mean, that's going to, we'll see where it all goes, but it's an interesting case.
Yep.
No chaos, though.
No chaos.
No chaos.
But then,
only energy.
There's still more. Energy, not chaos. And that is, the Trump administration also filed a federal lawsuit against California and its top officials, this was yesterday, Tuesday, to stop a cluster of, as it named it, sanctuary state bills.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a thing. So there, we've seen them. They've been fighting the idea of a sanctuary city quite passionately and talking a lot of trash about that. So, so that federal lawsuit was filed. That was a thing that happened.
By our favorite Keebler elf. He ran out there, Mr. Sessions.
He is a Keebler elf.
But the thing is, which is, I mean, everything that
there's your words.
Thank you.
Say the thing.
It's so frustrating. Everything that they do is playing towards their base.
Oh, yeah.
And I still just think that is it. For example, all of the Republicans, there are a lot of Republicans up for re-election in California in the midterms. And this is not going to do them any favors at all. Because Californians, I don't think, are going to react generally too well to the Attorney General coming out. And
No.
If they disagree with the sanctuary city issues, I just think that it seems like a bit of a overreach. And the tariffs thing, is crazy. I mean, it really is. The evidence of the damage that that will likely do if it results in an all-out trade war, to the damage it will do to actually to Trump's supporters, many of whom are saying, yeah, America first, but you're going to be singing a different tune when your six-pack of Coke is, you know, suddenly costing more, and the car manufacturing companies are all laying people off because suddenly it's so much more expensive to get steel and aluminum, et cetera. There may be a few stray steelworkers who will be pumped, but that I saw something just earlier that the number of steelworkers in the country is so small compared to the people that they estimate this is going to impact negatively. The people who work in industries that use steel and aluminum that would be subject to these tariffs. So anyway, it's loony. Even the Republicans, you know, it's bad when even the Republicans are like, oh, wait a minute.
They're like, oh, wait, like, hold up.
We don't like, your racism is one thing, but this.
But we're talking about steel.
We're talking about money here.
That's American.
Yeah, right.
Hold up.
Well, no, and what they're worried about is that they've made like some mild progress on the tax reform and stuff. So they're like, woohoo, but this is going to come along. And they're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it's going to undo that. So he's also moving quite swiftly about the whole thing. He plans to formally sign off on imposing these tariffs on both steel and aluminum imports tomorrow, Thursday. So they would not go into effect right away, be a couple of weeks, I think, of a window. But still, that's pretty swift
as far
as anything political goes.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, no, people are not happy about them.
Yeah, and you know, the world doesn't have our back
at all whatsoever.
Right. I mean, not that they would. I mean, they would be mad about this no matter who did this as president. But at the same time, you know, we've lost standing. We've lost respect. And if you think the EU and Canada and other countries are not going to try to do something to, you know, hurt us in return, you're crazy.
You are quite mistaken.
Because right now, they are not like, all right, go America. You know, right now, they're like, what is going on with these nightmares?
And almost immediately, it inspired pretty swift opposition from other foreign leaders that were like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah. Okay, that's what we're going to do? Sounds good. Yeah, yeah, let's do that.
Justin Trudeau called to talk about it.
About it. Terrible.
I will send my pandas to
Stop. Stop.
I wish we had him and not what we have.
Well, he's not an angel either.
I'm sure.
He's got his issues.
But he has panda. He hugs pandas. And our guy would, like, eat a panda.
He'd shoot it. Because he's also kind of reverse course on the big game hunting ban.
Yeah, I know. I saw.
So elephant hunting trophies, ivory, case-by-case basis is what he's saying now.
Meaning his sons.
Which means his sons. Yeah, right. Let's be clear.
When my idiot sons catch an elephant...
When these dumb shits catch an elephant, I gotta reward them, you guys. Can we just let that be a thing? Elephants are quite special creatures to me. You know, I know to many people.
They are, absolutely.
We don't deserve them.
Yeah.
We do not deserve elephants. They are so good and wonderful creatures, and we have treated them like shit. Yeah. We have treated their environment like shit. We have totally, we don't deserve them.
No.
And
they should hunt us.
I hope they do.
Yeah.
If there was an elephant uprising that were like, you know what, we're going to run things now because you guys suck at it. Yeah. I, for one, welcome the elephant overlords.
Exactly.
Because that's a way better, like, elephants are emotional and sweet, and they, you know, they do this lovely thing that when they need emotional support, they like press their foreheads together. They like lean their whole bodies into each other.
Really?
They're so sweet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but especially the foreheads, like especially since they you know, they bond, they pair bond. Like a couple, elephant couples will just lean their heads together and like physically support each other sometimes when things are tough. They cry over each other. Like when there's all these videos of when poachers get a parent, the babies will cry over the parent. I mean, it's terrible. Don't screw with elephants. How about don't screw with anything?
Yeah.
But like, especially don't screw with elephants. We don't deserve them in the first place, and we should be treating them like the angelic, wonderful creatures that they are. So this bullshit is terrible.
Yeah.
And the big game hunting of billionaire man children is horseshit anyway. Because, like, is your masculinity so fragile and shitty that it feels good and empowering to pay an unbelievable amount of money to be on like one of those closed courses.
Right, yeah, where it's easy. You know, they basically tie the, you know, tie it to a tree and tell you to go shoot it. You're like, okay.
If you can pull a trigger, you're going to get your big game trophy.
Yeah.
So kudos to you, big guy. Like, that seems really... Fuck that. That's terrible. So the case-by-case basis of, like, we need to put real and significant consequences behind big game trophies. We need to really crack down on ivory and deal with that.
Okay.
China has done a lot of work in this area. They've really, really done a lot of work. And a couple of other Asian countries, too, have really worked to lessen ivory, to penalize ivory more, and other creatures that are, you know, that are like sold on the black market for body parts, things like that. You know, there is a secondary conversation about kind of the economic impact locally of outlawing poaching. It's like, well, people are doing that because they're, you know, there are desperate situations for money that will drive people to, like, I get that, but we're talking about two different things and we need to approach them separately.
Yeah,
we need to talk about poaching and big game hunting by American billionaires quite separately. They're not the thing.
Right.
Like, they both result in dead elephants, which is a terrible thing, but the thing that we can put the most control over right now is abso-fucking-lutely not on big game trophies coming in here.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I can't believe that it's even a conversation. And I don't know, you know, look, there's dumb male things, and I'm not saying I'm not anti, you know, dumb dude crap or whatever, but the going out and killing something like that, I can't imagine it. I honestly can't. You know, I mean, I don't, and I'm not, I guess what I'm saying is I'm not like, I mean, you know, if people are hunters, like, you know, not my bag, but if you're going out and shooting deer or whatever, like, that's sort of a different...
I know some people who hunt, and we've had this conversation, because I recognize there's hypocrisy, and, like, if you are anti-hunting but not, say, if you don't follow, like, a vegan diet, I recognize there's hypocrisy in that, because farming conditions for animal processing for, like, chicken and beef, like, those are deplorable, too.
Sure,
I get that. And I'm not a vegetarian. Or vegan. However, you know, there's people that I know who hunt, but they also use it. You know, I know people that, like, hunt deer and elk and ducks and turkeys, but they'll use that meat. And that if you feel like you can, like, I don't think psychologically I could do that for sport. If it was a, like, end of the world and it's, I've got to kill this turkey in order to feed my family, that's...
Sure.
We all could figure that out, but
that's a different
thing. But just for sport, like going out on the weekend and loading up my truck full of dead carcasses doesn't seem like a fun thing for me. And I think that would be not psychologically fun. Mm-hmm. But if that is fun for you, I get it. If you use all those parts, and that's fine. But big game is quite another thing.
Oh, yeah.
No one's eating elephant.
Yeah.
This is about money and ivory and it's about their feet and, like, it's...
Yeah, it's horrible.
And their population is in great decline.
Yeah.
There's only a few hundred thousand of them left.
Yeah.
We have killed so many of them.
It's a pure male dominance, you know? I mean, it's just a... And misguided by extreme measures, but, I mean, that's what drives it. I mean, they just want to be, you know, it's like a dick measuring contest to be, you know, look at this.
I killed a bigger creature than you. Clearly, my masculinity is more powerful.
Yeah, it's
you
just,
guys.
It's really messed up. I
we got to reel it in with the toxic masculinity. That's, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's real...
And...
It's literally fatal.
Yeah.
I mean, that the thing we don't talk about enough that we're starting to talk about finally, thanks to these, like, young people that have been thrown into activist roles for the, like, fighting for their lives, literally, is we're finally talking about the fact that, like, these mass shootings are angry white men and toxic masculinity and couching it in, like, oh, mental illness only further stigmatizes mental illness. You wouldn't say, like, someone died of a physical illness, because that could be anything from, like, an infected paper cut to, like, a brain tumor.
Right.
Like, that could be a lot of things. So, so, like, we're further stigmatizing mental illness by saying, like, oh, that person had a mental illness. We need to keep guns away from people that are mentally ill. No. We need to, you can do that all you want until we deal with some, like, systemic stuff that's powering angry white men, literally killing people, we can regulate things all day long and it's not going to do any good.
Yeah, I agree. And it's this sort of culture of aggrievement that's been bolstered by the far right, you know, media and you know, talk show, radio talk show hosts and all that kind of stuff, I think, because they
Who do you think is the prominent voice in that space?
Well, you know, Limbaugh has been for a long time, but actually Limbaugh is almost tame by comparison at this point to, like, Mark Levin and Sean Hannity has really, I mean, that guy's gone. I mean, his, you know, his Fox News show is bonkers. His radio show is, like,
really
mega
off the
bonkers.
Let's get Hannity on the show. Oh, let's interview him.
Jeez, no thanks.
Right? I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah,
right. Really. I mean, it would, like, in theory, sounds like, man, we could just take him down and make him look like a punk. I don't even, I wouldn't even want to touch that.
He's a con man. I don't believe he believes his much of what he says. I don't. I think it's all bullshit. I really do.
It might be total acting.
I think that's the case with most of them.
Could be.
I think it's showmanship, and it's just, but showmanship of such a cynical.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, they're, I mean, they're Alex Jones without being quite so incredibly crazy.
I mean, I wonder about that because even like when we first started hearing about Ann Coulter, I was like, there's no way this woman believes the things she's saying. I don't know that I necessarily believe that it's completely acting. I mean, I don't think you could go out in the world and just say completely opposite things that were just so opposed to what you believe at your core. But I do wonder about people that just don't care and don't think about it enough and don't want to think about it to just kind of spout off. And I think that's where some of that showmanship may come in. Showpersonship may come in.
Yeah. And I think that, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a almost a like a sociopathy. I mean, to be able to do that. But yeah, I mean, like Dana Loesch, the NRA spokesperson.
Oof. I mean, those videos are unsettling to watch.
Oh, by the way, did you see the... So she did the... Dana Loesch came out with one with... Again, it's always this apocalyptic... Dun-dun,
yeah, it
you
is.
Know, kind of crap.
Yeah.
And she's standing there with a sand timer.
Yeah.
And she flips it, talking about how your time is... You know, talking about left-wing media.
Right.
Blah, your time
up,
is
yeah.
up. Blah, blah. Then one of the kids from Parkland mocked it and did a video of her own. Super, like, it's super low budget, obviously. It's just literally just her by a table with a big timer.
Yeah.
And she's like... But, you know, she just completely satirizes it. Says, like, you know, you... NRA, politicians who support assault rifles, blah, 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 blah. And she just goes on and on and on. And then she flips it over and she's like, your time is up. And and she says, and people who, she ends it with like, and people who do unnecessarily dramatic, you know, videos about trying to scare people or something like that. It's so good. It was really, those Parkland kids continue to impress. And that went completely viral too. It's like, one of the girls did it. It's really funny. And kudos to them again.
Speaking of the young people at Parkland, Betsy DeVos visited.
She's great.
So I don't understand why she did that. And there, some of the Parkland students were tweeting earlier this week, hi, we didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
Nobody wants this, which I think you're just saying what we're all thinking because
right.
what? Yeah. Yeah. So she drew criticism because she refused to speak with the students.
Right.
And she cut the visit short and kind of, there's a photo of her that, you know, leaving the podium. She doesn't look happy. She looks, you know, kind of like she's storming out of there.
Out of her element.
I don't understand why she did that.
I don't either.
Why do that?
Yeah.
You're not there to talk. You're not there to make meaningful conversation or change happen. You're just there to show up because you'll show up at the opening of an envelope for the show.
You know, people will talk kind of almost jokingly about that you know, conservatives are doing stuff just to trigger the libs, you know, like to get to whatever. But honestly, I think that's some of what goes on here. And I would not be in any way, shape, or way. This is akin to sending Mike Pence to Hamilton.
Yeah.
Where you knew some shit was going to happen, right? So they send DeVos down here because they want to make these students look bad to their base. So they send DeVos down there knowing full well the students are going to get pissed and the students are going to say what actually happened, which according to the students was she came in, didn't talk to any students and pet a service dog. And then, you know, people are going to be like, oh, these disrespectful kids, boy, you know, blah, 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 blah. I honestly think that's totally... the purpose behind it. I think there's evil bastards like Dan Scavino and what's his name? Jason Miller. Not Jason. What's his name? The crazy, creepy looking one who's like 30 years old, but Stephen Miller.
Stephen Miller.
30, but looks like he's 50 and dead inside.
right.
But yeah, I think it would not surprise me because you're right. I mean, what if she went down there with a message or something, or to have a conversation, or it was an isolated thing. She was there for a brief time.
She kind of doubled down on her message about arming teachers.
Right. So it's crazy. And I think it's, I think for as much of a mess as the Trump administration is just in general, in terms of messaging, staying on message, doing all these sorts of things, I do think that some of what they do, like some things that they do, are orchestrated like that in an effort to inflame, to fire up their base, to,
he likes drama.
Yeah. I mean, that Pence thing at Hamilton, that started, there were boycott, like all these people were going to rush out to see Hamilton anyway, but that started like a right-wing boycott Hamilton, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so I think that's just kind of a tactical. I don't think it's not Trump doing that. He's not smart enough to do that. It's the little devious monsters.
Sure. So what would your thoughts be on the countermeasure?
Just, you mean what the students should have done, or?
No, generally, if that is the case, because we don't know for sure, but if that is the case, like say there is a strategist saying, let's do things that's going to deepen controversy and get people fighting.
Yeah.
What in your mind is the countermeasure then when something like that, because it's not to not react.
Yeah.
It's not to not report it. It's not to not, so it puts us in a precarious spot then.
I honestly, at this point, I don't, there may have been a point where I said don't engage, since it's pretty much akin to trolling, really.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, there is no longer any even remote question in my mind as to which side the majority is on and which side is going to inevitably prevail here at some point. I don't know when that will be. But in terms of the direction that these people are trying to take us, the things that they're doing, the tactics that they're using, it is not going over well. It just isn't. And so I think it's fine to respond to these things. And all they're doing is they are doing everything they can to keep a very small base riled up. And that base will, before too long, be squished. And they are welcome to stay riled up if they want to, but they're not. They're going to be unimportant. And if you need any more evidence of that, look at the kids that are soon going to be voting.
I can't
in
wait.
Florida, for
I can't
example.
Wait for them to start.
I mean,
running.
They are going to massacre.
Actually,
these
it's my hope. Who knows? When you're a teenager, like what you're going to end up doing. But it seems like they have the aptitude. So I'm curious to watch them over the next few years and see what they do in the community organizing space. If one of them later runs for some kind of office or something like that, I think they would probably get a lot of support, because here you are, you have a fairly good track record of rallying people, before you have a driver's license, you know? So I think that's a pretty, that's a good start.
Yeah. I hope they go slow, because I feel like I worry about them getting out over their skin.
For sure. Or people giving them. I mean, we've seen this with a lot of moments, right? Where someone's ability to command can become a substitute for competence, and power gets bestowed on them.
Yeah.
And suddenly we see this in workplaces, but we've seen this in the political space plenty of times where that happens. And then someone has more responsibility than they're ready for, and they really fuck it up.
Yeah. I hope they use everything that they're going through right now and the things that they're learning as a stepping stone to the next step, which would be college, and then continue to kind of grow and do their
thing. That's why I say community organizer, because I think that's, you could, they're doing that now.
Yes, totally.
And they can keep doing that.
I guess what I'm saying is I hope, they don't just
suddenly like
somebody offers them a show on MSNBC
really
or something. Slow it down. Again, and I say that that's coming from a good place. I want the best for them, but I can see them being kind of manipulated, even though they're very, very smart and they don't seem very easily.
They don't seem easily played.
No,
but
again, it's that age, and that's hard. I mean,
if someone offered you, if E or somebody offered you a shitload of money to do a show, it'd be hard for most people to turn it down.
Sure.
I want to bring it in a little bit, speaking of community organizing and running for office, to local politics for a minute, because
Amy's running for office.
No. I get asked that once in a while, but that's, no, I don't see that happening. So it is, March 20th, we got a big old election here in Illinois. And so there's a lot of ads. so anyone is free to buy ad time on this station and any station. Anyone is free to do so. Sometimes some groups don't bother. You know, they'll like put their money in digital and not with like terrestrial radio or something like that. And that's fine. Like everybody makes their choice. So we don't have any control over what that is and where it falls.
Okay.
Where I'm going with this is there is there's like a Rauner ad that runs. There's a Jeannie Ives ad that runs, both of which have run while I'm on the air. And I've received this like, what are you doing promoting that kind of pushback? Like, I mean, there's also ads for like an herbal Viagra and a dating service. Like, I have nothing to do with it. In fact, I don't usually know what ads are coming up.
Yeah, sure.
Nor do I have any control over. Like, if there's an ad that's something objectionable, like, that has nothing to do with me,
right.
Really.
Yeah, sure.
You know, there are live reads for more innocuous things, like community based businesses that aren't like contentious things like that, that we do when we come back from commercial. But I say that just because there's a particular ad that runs that's not explicitly talking about Jeannie Ives' position on immigration, but it's a person's voice saying that their brother was hit by a car driven by someone who is allegedly undocumented and this person fled and whatever. And then there's no like statement. There's usually, you know, testimony and then bridge and then candidate statement. That's kind of the format. But again, we don't produce these ads. They're given unto us. So this ad doesn't do the bridge part. It just sort of has this person's story. And then suddenly it's like the Jeannie Ives spiel.
Yeah.
There's no like, I believe the following and I will do the following. It just sort of, it feels a little, awkward because it doesn't really connect dots. It hints at them, which always plays in kind of a sinister way if you don't really come out with your message. You know, it does sound a little like, ooh, spooky, right? That's, And I'm saying that because hosts have been getting a lot of shit for ads that are playing on the station. And I mean, look, I welcome them all. You know, in a perfect world, back to back, it would be like, every candidate would have an ad running in every single news block, and it would be even. It's a matter of who's buying ad space.
Sure, yeah.
And we don't have any control over that.
Yeah, of course. Right.
So there's that. I just want to put that out there because I recognize that, like, if I worked for Jeannie Ives, that's not the ad I would produce for her.
Right.
I would say like, you probably need to connect the dots a little more, or if you're going to hint that, you need to come out and say it.
Yeah.
And right. I've said, like, I was on WBZ and I was talking about Jeannie Ives and I said, you know, she's really positioning herself as this policy wonk. But in fact, like, she's talking about a lot of social issues quite a bit, but then kind of retreats and like, I'm a policy wonk. Like, not quite. Mm-hmm. You know, at least that's how earlier in her campaign she was really playing it. And she had a couple of events where she had to pull the speaker because they were so mired in controversy.
Yeah, like big time.
Big time controversy. Right, like some radio hosts that were like had said really racist. Racist and anti-Semitic things.
Yeah.
So she's stepped in some social issue problems before. Not like, I'm not on a Jeannie Ives tangent. I'm just using that ad because that's one a lot of hosts have gotten a lot of grief over.
Mm-hmm.
And before you get to the hosts, a person who works very hard, who is very cool, answers the phone for that host and screens all your calls.
Right.
So for every one call that's on the air, there's probably 20 that don't make it because the first word out of their mouth is screw you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like producers take a lot of grief on behalf of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm putting this out as a PSA.
Yeah.
A, be cool to producers.
Yeah.
No matter what, even if you're calling and you're so angry about something that maybe the host just said, the producer probably had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, sure.
You say, let me talk to your host because this is my comment.
Yeah.
And then you say your piece on the air and keep it clean so no one has to freak out. Because if you swear on the air and it's over a broadcast signal, the producer has to scramble to fix that and can get fired if they don't. Like, a lot of things are riding on producers. So be nice to them, that's A. But also B, I don't have any control. No host on this station or any other station has any control over what political ads are playing. Please, we cannot make it to March 20th if you keep clobbering us with all this grief.
leave them alone, for God's sake.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, so the first one that came in, this Jeannie Ives ad played during one of my shows. It was the first one. I was like, oh yeah, we're getting close to the election. Yeah, here it is. And immediately, like, someone like sent me this message through Facebook that was like, it was hostile, it was mean, yeah. And it was like, how dare you? I'm never listening to you again. Sinclair has gotten to you. How much have they paid you? Like, it was this long, insane tangent about, like, it blew my mind. But I'm just like, I see a message pop up, and I was like, oh, what's happening here? And it was all because an ad played. And it was like, well, there's a shampoo ad went right before it, and that's not the shampoo I use. Just because an ad played during my show doesn't mean I endorse that candidate.
Right.
I'm done.
That's okay. No, I think that's a good thing to say, because you're right. I think a lot of people get confused about that, too. After the Trib endorsed Gary Johnson, the Trib editorial board endorsed Gary Johnson.
Right. I was out on social media defending that. Like, oh, edit Lord. Board and newsroom are two totally God. Different spaces.
I still get shit about that.
I know.
From
I know.
Readers and stuff. How could, well, your paper is the one that endorsed. I'm like, hey, I didn't do it. Different group of people, man.
Different group and yeah. In a different room.
Right.
There's literally physical right. differentiation yeah. between the edit board and the newsroom. Yeah. There's very little interaction between the two.
Yeah, yeah. So that's been a little media literacy to wrap the show up here.
Well, like, and I think there were a yeah. couple posts you and I both got tagged in of people going like, I'm canceling my Tribune subscription, and, you know, over that very endorsement.
Yeah,
and it
totally.
Was saying like, me, you, Heidi Stevens. It was like, I like you guys, but like, I'm out. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
A, I don't work there anymore. B.
Yeah, fire Hupke.
Blame Hupke. He did it. Right. And I was like, but again, it's like a totally different thing. And so I appreciate when I see people that work at any news organization that does endorsements. Uh-huh. Anytime there's an endorsement, you always see reporters from the newsroom going, just a reminder, if you cancel your subscription, which you're free to do, you don't get to bitch when the newspaper goes away and a bunch of journalists get fired.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You don't get to bitch. Mm-hmm. Because, like, yes, that's a big deal, but there's also 82 other articles in the paper
right.
that day.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Yeah.
That have a whole lot of other things going on. And by canceling your subscription, you're punishing every single byline in there yeah. and every editor behind them and every editor behind that editor. And we just have to think a little more expansively and less reactively, I think.
Right.
I agree with a good boycott. I like a good boycott when things are going south, but we have to, like, think about who we're punishing when we do that. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Whew, okay. I'm a little caffeinated today.
Nice.
There's a lot of things. We covered a lot of space
we
today.
We really did. That was a lot. Good luck.
That was good. Well, there was a lot, so we were well organized. We had a list going today.
Justified. Yeah.
And that was really only we were only talking about things that have happened over, like, the last 72 hours.
Yes, right. A reminder,
not even that,
it's
48
Wednesday.
Hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. All right. So don't kill an elephant. That's A. Don't be a jerk on Twitter. And if a commercial plays during a host thing, it's probably not the host's fault. That's all I know. All right.
Just be nice to hosts. That's all.
In summation, be nice to human beings and elephants.
Yeah,
good.
That's true.
Okay. So if you can handle that for a week, we can handle that for a week. Let's just start there and see where that gets us. So we'll see you next time on Guth and Hupke on Politics.